Well, good afternoon again. My name is Jared, and I'm not usually the person up here preaching, but Christian is the way this week, so I'll be leading us in the scriptures. We're gathered together here to grow as followers of Jesus Christ. That's why we gather each Sunday. It's why we sing together, why we pray together, why we receive communion together, and it's why we open the scriptures up to learn and consider how we might better follow Jesus Christ. If you're new here, we're so glad that you're here. And we hope that that's what you'll see tonight, a community seeking to know Christ and to follow him. If you're unsure of what you believe, maybe you grew up in the church but have been away for a long time, or maybe you've never felt like you've had any faith at all, we are so glad that you are here. For whatever reason you came in today, my hope and prayer is that you might see something about what a Christian community is and what we're seeking to do and what we're seeking to be. Because we want to be a community that knows Christ and that follows him. But following Christ in our daily lives just often proves really difficult. Life is hard. Life is difficult. Things don't go the way that we planned. And so often, many of us as Christians have good intentions of being these people that follow Christ in our daily lives and show Christ to others. But so many weeks just become about survival. Have any of you ever felt like that? Like, I want to show people who Christ is. Two hands for my sister-in-law. All right. I pointed her out already. I'm sorry. So often, life becomes difficult. And instead of, with strength and courage, showing Christ in all that we say and do in all of our lives, life becomes this thing about survival. Tonight, we're going to talk about what we need to carry with us into our everyday lives so that we can be a people of daily life Christ followers. We don't want to be a people that are just overcome by the difficulties and hardships of this world. We don't want to be a people that just grow tired and weary and try to think through how we can get through each day. No, the Christian community is supposed to be a people strong and courageous and equipped to go out and be Christ followers in the day-to-day lives of this world. So we're going to talk about that today. And I want to tell you a story. And this is a story about the most fearless person I've ever seen. I'm not saying this person's a Christian. I don't know what this person believes. I only saw her once. This story, to me, epitomizes the type of person I'd like to be in daily life. Because this person has something that I completely lack. And I'm excited about what she has, and I want to tell you about it. So it's summer of 2003. I'm getting off a train in Penn Station. Some of you are city folk, right? Who's city folk? You love the city. The city gives you life. You get away for the weekend. Oh, I'm going to the city for the weekend. Going to see a play. Going to go out to a nice restaurant. I am not city folk. The city scares me. It's big. There's lots of people. I don't really like going to the city. I'm in Penn Station because I like baseball, and there's a baseball game I want to see. I also don't like being underground in the dark, which is what so often happens with trains and subways. People that are underground for a long time usually aren't alive. I like to be alive among the living. So I get off this train at Penn Station, and I just want to get out of there. I see in the distance, to my left, a ray of light, the stairwell. All right, let's get out of here. Let's go see the game. Let's go see baseball. That'll be fun. Yay, baseball. Okay. At the base of that stairwell is the largest gentleman I've ever seen in my life. He's 6'4". 300 pounds, all muscle. All muscle. On both hips, guns. On his shoulder, an M16. He is military, police, one of those special forces things that we don't even know about. He's got like a polo shirt on. He can't wear a uniform. He's got to be ready to go and act. Cargo pants full of stuff that I'm not allowed to see. And on his right hand is the scariest thing of all. Attached to that hand is a leash. At the end of that leash is something. Half Rottweiler, half Great Dane, half wolf. Math is not my thing. This is more than one dog contained in a person, okay? They're standing at attention at the base of the stairwell. And I noticed something too. On the other side, a woman is walking. Power walking. She is city folk. She's got her business suit on. She's on the phone. She's walking. She's moving. She's determined. She's ready to go with her day. And I've noticed where she is. She's going to run right into these people. She's going to walk right by this dog. I start running to the left. I want to get out of here. I'm going to go up the wrong side of the stairwell to avoid this dog thing, Cerberus guy, as much as humanly possible. The woman gets closer. The dog, all of a sudden, starts jumping and barking out of nowhere. Just barking as loud as it can. Psh, psh, up and down, barking. Man doesn't budge. Just his arm like this, containing the whole dog with one arm. Woman gets closer, doesn't notice this, still on her phone. She's talking on her phone, talking to her friend, doing her thing, right? She's like 20 feet away. Dog gets angrier somehow. The dog starts doing this thing where it shuffles back to the right and then lunges to the left so it can make full use of the range of this leash. So shuffles back to the left, jumps out of the right, barking madly. Ah! Woman doesn't notice. I'm getting scared. This is terrifying to me. Little thing about me, I'll be vulnerable with you. Giant men with giant guns and giant dogs, that scares me. You might be scared of kittens or unicorns. We each have our own thing, but that's really intimidating to me. I don't like that. The dog kicks it up another notch, starts going crazy. This man who contained this dog all of a sudden had no control over it. The man once controlled the dog, now the dog is controlling the man and just yanking him around everywhere. The guy's trying to hold on to this dog. The gun on his shoulder starts kind of slipping off his shoulder. I'm like, oh no. The woman is now walking right past them. What's going to happen? This dog looks like it would eat every single one of us if it could just get off this leash. Woman walks by. Finally, she notices this ruckus. You hear her say, hold on a second. She puts the phone down. She looks over at this dog with this look that I can't replicate. But it's something like this, like, that contains in it this, what is this nonsense going on? Who do you think you are? What gives you the right? And do you know who I am? She's walking without breaking stride. She looks at this dog right in the eye, then she looks up at this man, and she barks back, get a hold of your dog, man! She keeps on walking. The dog sits down, embarrassed. A dog does one of those human things when you're embarrassed. The dog sits down and then gave one of these, like, oh, hey, oh, I'm sorry, I'll calm down. She keeps walking up the stairwell. And I hear her, another person on the phone must have said, like, you know, what was that? She goes, psst, I don't know. Some silly guy doesn't know how to take care of his dog. Keeps going on. I want whatever she has inside of her. Whatever she has for day-to-day life, I want that. I want that strength, that fearlessness in my life. Don't you? Don't we all want that in the face of scary things in life, in the face of difficulties? Wouldn't you love to have that kind of confidence, to just be moving through with your day? Oh, there's this crazy dog. No big deal. I'll shout at it and tell it to be quiet, and it'll be quiet, and I'll keep moving. I want that. And as followers of Jesus Christ, if we believe the things that we say we believe, we should be a people growing in strength and confidence to face the difficulties and to face the challenges of this life and this world. We shouldn't be a people that just survive. In that story, I was scared, I was terrified. That was about survival for me. I was not thinking about all the great things I get to do today. I was not thinking about the ways I'm going to be confident and strong. I'm thinking, I don't want to get eaten by a dog. But as Christ followers, life is supposed to be different. For us to be a people that has that strength and confidence, there are things that we need to carry with us in our daily lives. Things that we will carry with us each day and each moment so that we might be a people that really show Christ to this world. And that's what we're going to look at today in the scriptures. And you can go ahead and turn to the scriptures. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5 if you want to grab a pew Bible. If not, it'll be up there on the screen. We're going to be looking at a short piece of a letter written by a man named Paul to a church in Rome, kind of the ancient New York City of their world. The Roman Christians faced all of the difficulties and all of the challenges that we face and more. There really were big barking animals at them, barking at them as they were Christians at some point in their lives. The Roman Christians faced a world where Caesar was Lord, where Caesar was the Savior, where the Caesar was the Son of God. And all of their social interaction, their family interaction, their jobs, they had tons of gods that they were meant to worship, to pay homage to, local and regional gods. So when they became Christians, they were in conflict with the world around them. It was a scary, difficult thing to be a Christian in that world. It was going to affect your social status. It was going to affect your friends, your family. It was going to affect your job and your resources. And in that world, these Roman Christians didn't just survive and struggle. They actually thrived in such a way that they grew in strength and confidence. They were equipped by letters like this to encourage them, to support them, to challenge them, to carry this Christ with them into their lives in such a way that they actually transformed that city. And the other letters in the New Testament, these churches, these small bands of Christians were equipped in such a way that they grew in strength and confidence in a way that they really transformed the world. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at this letter. And I pray and I hope that as we look at it, we might grow in Christ in such a way that we would be people equipped to change our county. So go ahead and look up there, and I'll begin reading. And there's a lot in this passage, as there is in most letters of Paul. And we're not going to get to everything, but we're really going to focus in on three things that we can carry with us into our daily lives. So verse 1. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. I want to look up there at the word faith. The first thing that Christians need to carry with them in their daily lives is faith. Now, there have been a billion things written about faith in the last two centuries since Jesus was on the earth. Especially that phrase, justified by faith. It's a huge, huge term, but I want to keep it very, very simple tonight. For Christians, faith is a two-sided coin, consisting primarily and first and foremost of God being faithful to us. And the flip side of that coin, the tails of that, is our decision to respond to that faithfulness by trusting Him. That is Christian faith, a two-sided coin. On one side, God choosing to be faithful to us, to His people. And then our faith, our response, is to respond by trusting Him. God has chosen to be faithful to us. The Bible tells the story of the faithfulness of God over and over and over again. God creates a world that is good and peaceful and complete and whole. And He makes men and women in His image. And He gives them this world. And the first men and women rebel. And since then, every single person has rebelled against this God and this good creation. To the Romans of the first century, all the way down to us today. And that, in fact, this is the argument that Paul is making leading up to this part of the letter that we're looking at. That all men, all people end up going astray. And that our response to this faithful God has time and time again been unfaithful. And the story of the scriptures is how faithful God is over and over and over again. When you read the Old Testament, God is gathering unfaithful people. He gathers them together and says, hey, I love you. I want to change your lives. I want your world to be good. I want to show the world how faithful I am, how good I am. Would you be my people? And I'll be your God. And over again, God's people say, yes, we're sorry. We want to follow you. We're going to be your people. And time and time and time again, they're unfaithful. Do you ever, anyone grow up in church where you had Sunday school and you heard all the Old Testament stories? Did you ever hear those stories and wonder, what were these people doing? How do they keep messing up so much? When I was a kid, I used to look at these stories and be like, what's wrong with you people? You have God walking with you. In the God delivers His people from Egypt, and He's this pillar of fire, and He parts the Red Sea, does all these miraculous things, and He's right with them. And over again, they're unfaithful. There's a story in the Bible where God tells this man Moses, they're in the desert, and He's going to give them water from a rock. And He says, hey, Moses, I'm going to give you guys water to drink because you're dying of thirst. All you need to do is talk to that rock. And Moses says, no, I don't want to talk to that rock. And he takes his stick, and he smacks the rock as hard as he can. That's like 2-year-old unfaithfulness, right? Like when you tell your kid not to do something right in front of you, and you're like, hey, don't eat that Play-Doh. The kid looks at you and he eats that Play-Doh immediately. That's the type of faithfulness we seem to see over and over again. And as a kid, I was like, how could you be so unfaithful? And now as an adult sinner, I look at the Old Testament and I think, oh yeah, I get that. We're sinners. We screw up over and over and over again. But God has remained faithful. Things are not right with us and God. Things are unjust. Things need to be set right and fixed in this broken world. And this is what the faithful God has chosen to do. He chose to send his son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and lived a faithful life and was faithful to us in all things. And then he gave himself on the cross to pay the sacrifice for our unfaithfulness, for our sin, for our brokenness, as every single one of us turned away from God like sheep gone astray, as we turned in on ourselves, as we walked away, God kept pursuing. God kept being faithful. He sent his son, and this son came to be the perfect, faithful sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, we were set right. We were, that phrase up there, justified by faith. And now because of this faithful God, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom this, we have this grace in which we stand. Because of God's faithfulness, we can have peace, a restored relationship with this God. And instead of us trying to work back to God and to be faithful when we keep failing, we now can stand in his grace, this gracious act of kindness towards us. That's the first side of faith, God's faithfulness. The second side of faith is simple and it's important. It's what we're called to do. We're called to trust God. We're called to trust Jesus Christ with our lives, with our daily lives, with our daily moments, with everything. That is the thing we need to carry into our lives. This faith is to be carried into our daily lives. Faith is not just something that we have on Sunday as religious people gathered together. No, faith is meant to permeate all things. Every day we'll be challenged to put our trust into all sorts of lesser things, our abilities, our money, our resources, our family, our friends, our government, our jobs. Every single day we'll be tasked with all these different things that we can trust. And all of the things we put our trust in will ultimately prove unfaithful towards us, but not the faithful God. And we are called to be a people that bring this faith into our everyday life, so that every day we can ask these questions. We can ask, okay, life is difficult. Life is hard right now. Who do I really trust, though? Is there someone I can really trust who's faithful to me? And in every day, we can remember what God's done for us, the depth of his love and faithfulness towards us. And that can impact and affect how we live our lives. And we can be a people that show the others, people around us, show our neighbors, our friends, our families, our coworkers, a faith that's different than the faith this world has. We can be not just another person who has all the anxieties, all the cares of everyone else in the world, but no other remedy for it. We can be a Christian people who, when life gets difficult, we have our faith. It's not that life isn't difficult. It's still extremely hard. But we know something true that other people don't know. And we can show them that faith, that there is a God who loves us, pursues us, and is faithful to us. We're called to carry that faith into daily life. So let's keep reading. And I want to zero in on the word hope here. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. We're called to carry hope with us in our daily lives. Let's unpack that word a bit. Hope, in its basic definition, is to want something to happen or to think it might happen. You hope for something. You think it could happen, and you really would like it to be true. Christian hope is much, much more specific than that and much, much stronger than that. It's very, very specific. We're not just hoping in any old thing. We're hoping and sharing in the glory of God. Now, I realize glory of God is a pretty big concept. It's one that usually trips me up too as I was growing up in the faith. I'm like, all right, I understand love, things like that, but glory, that sounds like a really big, crazy concept, right? In simplest terms, the glory of God is His presence. We believe that one day His full shining presence will permeate all of heaven and earth again one day. It's what the scriptures talk about. Our hope is placed in that coming day. There will be a day, and this is from a chapter in the Bible, the very, very end of the Bible, Revelation 21. It's an amazing chapter and worth taking your time to read. There will be a day when darkness will be shut up, when pain and sorrow will be closed up and no more and cast aside, and God Himself will be with people fully again. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and God Himself, Jesus Christ, will be the center of that universe. This world that started with Adam and Eve, and this world that started in the garden, is now a flourishing city where there is no night, where God Himself is the light of the whole world. And God's people will be a part of that light, will be fully connected, fully bonded, fully restored in this full relationship with God. That is Christian hope. We are hoping in a future event, a coming day when things are set right, when the world is all light again, when darkness has been kicked aside and it's now bleeding forth daylight, and the light will shine in the darkness and the darkness will never overcome it. Amen. We don't just think this could happen or mildly hope it can happen. Christian hope is the confidence that this is what is happening one day. It's the difference between you can kind of mildly hope in things and you can seriously hope in things, right? You know this is true. You can hope the Giants win on Sunday. And you can hope the Giants win on Sunday and you bet your house on that and then you bet that they cover the spread, right? One is significantly different. You hope, oh, maybe they'll win. I really hope they win. I'm a Giants fan. And one is, I'm staking a lot of what I have on them winning this game. I'm betting my livelihood. Christian hope is this bet your house hope. The scriptures talk about it as the kingdom of God. It is sell all that you have to go buy this treasure. That is Christian hope. It's not a mild hope. It's a very, very confident hope. Carry this hope into your everyday life. If that is our hope, how could it not overflow into our everyday lives? Have you known how good that hope is? Maybe some of you have never heard about this glorious hope. It's so much more than we often think of it as. It's not just get through this difficult world and then there's this cloudy, shady, like heaven that we don't quite understand. No, it's a future, real hope of being with God and basking in that light. And we can carry that hope with us into our daily lives. Whenever they talk about God's glory and his glorious hope in the scriptures, they always picture God as this light, this power that starts in the beginning of the scriptures where God says there's light. Before there's even a sun, God just creates light. And in the scriptures, whenever God shows up to people time and time again, it's this light, it's this burning fire. It's God meeting Moses on the mountain and Moses shining and beaming that light. It's Christ Himself coming and being the light of the world. And when Christ does that, He does something remarkable. He calls us the light of the world also. Here's how I want us to picture hope in the glory of God. Picture it this way, that you as a Christian, you as one following Jesus Christ, has been given a little bit of that light. You've been called to be the light of the world that points to that future light that's coming. That's one day fast approaching. And what God has chosen to do in calling His people the light of the world has been to give His people that light to shine in dark places. We can bring hope into our daily lives. Here's my challenge to you. Do this in your difficulties of life, when you're with your family, when you're with your friends, when you're at work. Ask yourself this question. Where is my ultimate hope in this moment? Every day we'll be challenged to put our hope in all sorts of lesser things. I hope to get through this day. I hope to get through this job. I hope things get better at home. I hope things get better at work. Or you can remember your ultimate hope and remember that you've been given a light and you can shine that hope around to others. The remarkable thing about Christian hope, if you look up there, We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance, character. And this character produces more hope somehow, and that hope doesn't disappoint us. When we grow in that hope, when we seek to bring our hope into everyday life, we'll be able to endure and understand sufferings differently. Because suffering and difficulties are not the last word. Our suffering is never the final word in Christ. The glory of God is the final word. And our hope and sharing in that glory is always the final word. And this is not a sermon about suffering, and I don't mean to make light of the pain and difficulties that I know so many people in this community are going through and struggling through. And I don't want to do that. And I'll point you to the fact that there are a few sermons we've done years ago and more recently that are really just good sermons where we talk through suffering and the difficulties. And Christian did a sermon series on James a few years ago that really hit on that. And if you're interested in that, please come talk to me. But I do want to say this, knowing that it's an insufficient covering of this topic, but Christian hope is the final bigger word over our present sufferings. That phrase up there, boast in the hope of our sufferings, is only not an intolerable cruelty because of the hope we have of sharing in the glory of God. This hope is so good that if we let it come into our daily lives, if we let this light shine in us and shine in this darkness, that it will build in us an endurance and a character, and it will build in us more hope that will not disappoint. Carry faith with you. Carry a hope with you that won't disappoint. Let's read that last verse. How can we be so sure it won't disappoint? Listen to these words. Hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. We are called to carry God's love with us into our daily lives. Receive this good truth from the Scriptures. God has chosen to pour His love into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. God has proven Himself to us by His love. How do we know that our hope won't disappoint us? Because of the love that Christ had for us in the past on that cross, and for the Holy Spirit that convicts us and convinces us of that love in the present. Read the rest of chapter 5. It says, while we were still sinners, God proved His love for us, that He died for us. And read chapter 8 of Romans. You can read the whole thing. It's all really good, but it gets long. Chapter 8 is amazing. It's this beautiful picture of God's love for us and that nothing can separate us from that love. God's love has been poured into our hearts. Whether you believe that God loves you or not will make all the difference in the world in how you live. Think about it on a human level. Think about the people you know and your friends with. I live significantly differently because I know one thing. I know my wife loves me. I know my wife loves me, and I know my kid loves me. As long as I have food, I know my kid loves me. I'm pretty sure he's going to keep loving me. I hope that that's true. But I know my wife and my kid love me. That makes all the difference every single day of my life. My life would be significantly worse if I didn't know that or didn't believe that or was unsure of that fact. Some of you know that. Some of you are nodding. Some of you would agree with that fact, right? I imagine some of us have gone through times when we've been lying next to people and not sure that they loved us really. That has a big difference in how you live your day. It has a big difference. We've all, or many of us, have probably been in relationships where we were certain the person didn't love us. It makes life hard. When you know someone loves you, you have a strength and a power and a freedom that's amazing. When you don't think someone loves you and you're with them all the time, life is difficult. Look at that on a cosmic level. If you believe God loves you, it changes things. It changes your day-to-day life. It gives you a freedom, a newness, and a power that's not possible if you don't believe that God loves you. This love has been poured into our hearts in such a way that it can overflow into the lives of others. Carry the love of God with you every day. In every moment, we'll have opportunities to turn in ourselves, to be selfish and boastful and rude, to think about ourselves and our own needs. And in every moment, we'll have the opportunity to remember how deeply Christ has loved us, how this love has been poured into us, and how it can flow out of us to others. And every day, we'll have the opportunity to let God's love come to our minds, come to our heads, and come to our hearts, and come to our hands, and come to us, and we can ask this question: how can I show the love that I've been shown in this moment? How can I show God's love to other people? Christian community, people of Park Church, carry faith, hope, and love into your daily lives. Let this be what we are about as a people. Don't let these things be something we do on Sunday, but bring it into the day-to-day. Carry this faith with you. Carry this hope with you. Carry this love with you into every moment. Try it this week. Here's how. Find time each day to consider these words. Find time. We're doing the daily reading. Some of you have been doing the daily readings. I bet some of you have grown lax in doing them. Some of you have never done them. But each day, on Monday through Friday, we put up just a short piece of scriptures and a short prayer that you can read along with the rest of the community. And do that. There'll be readings this week about faith, hope, and love. Take some time, go to those readings, read them, and then ask yourself these questions. Ask, who do I trust today? And how can I show who I trust to others? What is my ultimate hope today? What am I really hoping for? And how can I show that light of hope to other people? And ask yourself, how can I show the love of Christ to people today? Every single one of us can do that. Try it this week. Try to make this the week where we don't just survive, but we're filled with strength and courage to be a people of faith, hope, and love around others among us. And then this week, community groups are starting. Go to your community group and share how you're doing. Talk about it together. Talk about how we can grow in faith, how we can grow in this hope of God's glory. Talk about how we can grow in love together. If you're not in a community group, you can sign up for one. Hop into them. They're great. If you're not in a community group, so there's lots of other things that you're a part of. If you're on your ministry team this week, talk about the faith, hope, and love. If you're part of Midweek Oasis, share how that's going this week when you guys gather. Wherever you're at, if you're in a smaller group in Orb that gets together to pray together, talk about that. Talk about how difficult it is to live out your faith. Talk about where you've succeeded, where you've failed, but talk about it with others. And then pray for each other that we would grow in this faith, that we would be growing in trusting God, that we would be growing in shining the light of hope to this world, that we would be growing in love. Finally, dream with me. Always be a community that dreams of what could happen as we follow Christ. But dream with me for a second. What would happen if we grow, if you grow, if I grow, if we grow as a people who trust Christ more, who have a deeper, stronger hope and a greater love that we show to others? One, we would grow as followers of Jesus Christ. We would know Christ better. We'd know a stronger hope that wouldn't disappoint us. And we'd be people that love others better. We would grow into a community that's stronger. We'd grow into a community that's more powerful to fight off the barking crazy dogs of this world. Instead of cowering in our day-to-day, we'd be like that Roman Christian community 2,000 years ago that found ways in the difficulties of life's circumstances to show Christ and to transform the cities they were in so that people became Christ followers. And that is the most glorious thing that could happen if we grow in our faith, if we grow in our hope, if we grow in love. This county, people we know, our friends, our family, the people we love, they might experience the faith, the hope, and the love of Jesus Christ as well. That's the glorious thing that we could look towards. As we grow in our faith, as we grow in hope, as we grow in love, we can show that to this world around us so that this county could be a people that come to know Jesus Christ, which is what we are all about as a community, to be a community growing of Christ followers that can go out and invite and inspire and welcome other people to follow Christ as well. That's what can happen if we grow in faith, hope, and love. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the chance to come together each week. We thank you for the chance to sing together and to sing your praises, to open your scriptures, to be taught by your word. Lord, we pray that we would be a community that follows you, that knows you. Lord, we pray that others that we know would come to taste how good you are, would come to know what it's like to have the hope that you've given us. We pray that others in this county, other people we know, would come to see how good it is to put their hope in you and how good it is to taste your love. God, strengthen us. Build us into a people that are courageous. Build us into a people that make living out the faith part of our daily lives. Grow us up in trusting you. Fill us with your hope. And help us, by the power of your Spirit, love and show your love to others. In your name we pray. Amen.